So you'll hear people refer to me as Onk, Onch, Anch. I pronounce it Onch. Technically, it's a form of Onk, but I'm Onch, and you guys are here to listen to me ramble on about man in the middle attacks or monkey in the middle attacks, and we'll play some traffic. It'll be a lot of fun. So just a little bit about me. This is the slide that I normally introduce my wife, because she's here, but she's not here. No, that's her on my way. Yeah, I'm sure you're going to be 4 minutes late. I'll introduce you guys when she gets here. I have a lot of experience in penetration testing and hacking. And funny story time since I have time. A penetration tester, the job title penetration tester, is the best title to have at a party. Okay. If people walk up to you, what do you do? I'm a penetration tester. And they look at you funny like, huh. And they're like, so what do you do exactly? And they're expecting something like, well, I test the lighting in porn. But then I explained to them what I do, and they're like, oh, that's actually really fucking boring. I've got over 10 years experience doing this. I like to do this, and I like to teach people how to do it. And take a little bit of a survey. How many of you guys first year DEF CON? First time. Wow, I got a room full of noobs. That's awesome. By the way, when I say noob, it's not an insult. Honest to God, not an insult. It is a compliment. I'm a noob at things. I can't reverse engineer for shit, and I'm teaching myself to do it. I'm total noob at reverse engineering, but I'm really, really good at the other stuff. So being a noob is not a problem. It's actually really awesome. How many people in here are penetration testers right now? Okay. How many people in here want to be penetration testers? Good. That's awesome. That's an admirable goal. How many people actively exploit boxes as a penetration tester? I got one. I got two. George, I didn't save those seats for you. Actually, really, I didn't. My wife is coming down, so just save her a seat. She's got one more with her. She'll probably sit on the floor. It'll be okay. We know what we're saying. Yeah, and you know it's important that I take care of my wife. So that's a little bit about me. Boneheads Anon is my Twitter, so tweet me if you want me. It's all good. Did that not actually cycle? There we go. So, why do we play in traffic? Traffic is really, really interesting. And by the way, I put funny stuff on my slide, so feel free to laugh. Don't be like, quiet and stuff. You guys are the quietest audience I've ever had. When I walked down here and I asked you guys, are you guys in line for the talk? You're all like, anyway, traffic is interesting stuff. Yeah, thank you. It gives us insight onto how things work. You know, when you're looking for something on the network that's misbehaving, you know, the first place I go is the traffic. Oftentimes, you know, it's something simple like I misconfigured a switch port, or I'm in the wrong VLAN, or I'm pushing things to the wrong address, but the traffic will tell me that. And if you know how to read traffic, and you know how to look at it, and you know how to capture it, you can actually do some pretty cool stuff with it. It allows us to gather information on a target, really valuable information on a target, actually. It tells us the source and destination, MAC addresses. It tells us what ports the traffic is the target is talking on, so what ports are open. Sometimes you can't get a port scan because you got a firewall, and it's just sitting there, it's just like empty. You know, you run MAP and you're like, oh, it comes back nothing. Well, I know that host is alive, so if I can get the traffic, I can tell what ports are open on it, and maybe I can spoof the traffic in order to get into that host. You know, there's a lot of fun stuff you can do with traffic. And it allows us to change things as they go by. And I'll get into some fun stuff you can do. You can really prank your friends with some of this, especially when you're at home. And your friends get on the internet and they're like, why are all the images upside down? Yeah, we get, hi, everybody. This is my wife. Yeah. I saved you seats and, have a seat. Yeah. She supports me in everything that I do, and I love her very, very much. And so she deserves a great big hand. Being able to play in traffic allows us to change things as they go by and make modifications to stuff that may or may not allow us to get into things that we're not supposed to. And that kind of power is great because people aren't looking for it. IDS looks for it a little bit, but if you're smart about it, you can actually bypass IDS altogether and be like, oh yeah, that's the traffic that's supposed to be there. Good, I'm actually getting you chuckles. That's good. Most importantly, it allows us to prank our friends. And honestly, allowing us to prank our friends is, we have to have fun with this job. We can't just do the work to do the work. If it's not interesting to you, you are in the wrong line of work. You really are. Was that? We have to laugh. It is all about the lulz. You're right. We have to laugh. We have to have fun. And you have to be interested in doing this stuff so you'll actually learn it. Otherwise, you go to work for 10 or 15 hours out of the day, and you come home, and you get stagnant because you're not learning new stuff. You know, you're applying what you already know, but you're not actually picking it up. And you know, if you love it, you'll go home and you'll read about it, or you'll play with it, or you'll mess with your friends, you know, or your neighbors. interesting story about my neighbors. I did something for Aruba, and they were kind enough to give me an access point to play with. And it was one of their new 802.11 AC access points. And I set it up at home, and I've been having problems with interference on stuff. And the Aruba access point comes up, and it goes, oh, I'm seeing interference. Let me take care of that for you. And all of a sudden, all of my neighbor's access points go, oh, I'm going to get quieter and turn down, and now I'm the king of the mountain. It's pretty awesome. All right, so how do we get into the traffic that we want to play with? There's a lot of different ways to do it, and I don't have my presenter notes up here, so just remember, always wear a helmet. You don't want to really mess anything up, so you got to be real careful. Playing with traffic, playing with network traffic in general, you're not going to permanently screw something up, but it can definitely have unintended consequences. And I'll get into those here in a little bit. When you mess with things, the systems have checksums and ways to figure out that you're actually messing with them, and they'll toss it out. And then you can be like, oh yeah, you know, I got that transparent proxy in place, and I'm trying to create the all porn internet. And it's replacing these images, but it's not, the images aren't coming up, and it's probably because you're not injecting them right. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. It can be dangerous. You can get caught. It's a noisy thing. If you get caught and you're not, well, if you get caught and you don't have permission to play in traffic, by the way, get permission first. No means no. If you don't have permission, you get caught, the consequences can be dire. You can get arrested and go to jail, and that's never fun. But it can be dangerous. It can mess stuff up. It can mess your traffic up on your network. You know, I've done that a couple of times. My wife calls me, the internet's not working, and I'm, in Oklahoma. And I'm like, sorry, I left that on and I didn't mean to. It does really mess with the networks, especially some of the tools that we'll talk about here in a little bit. It can take entire networks down, and like big networks, or entire segments of a network down. When you're impersonating, you know, a gateway or directing traffic to your box, and you know that gateway is normally handling 10 gigs of traffic, and your box has a 100 megabit card in it, tends to hurt a little bit. So it can really, really mess with the networks, and you can really put yourself in a position where you're taking something critical offline, and as a tester, we never really want to do that. We tend to get smacked for it, and it makes our jobs even more difficult. And like I just alluded to, your host might not be fast enough. You might not be able to process all the traffic that you're getting. You're going to drink from a fire hose, and you know, when you do that, it tends to fill your mouth pretty fast. And switches will alert on things. If you have a client that is particularly intelligent and has their monitoring and alerting set up, it will throw an alert, and they will catch you, and they'll be like, ah, and you'll be like, okay, you caught me. And IDS usually does catch it. There are ways to get around that, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But it usually does flag on things when they start to change. Your IDS is set up to look for normal, and you're creating something abnormal or drink. yeah. You're looking for something abnormal, and you're creating something that is not kosher on the network, and so it'll usually catch it. For those of you that can't read this, it says a giant tool and he's carrying a wrench. So we're going to have a little discussion about tools and how to use them and what they're for and the best ones to use. I'm going to go through the stuff that I normally use and normally put on a network in order to get into traffic, and tell you their pitfalls and goods and the bads. So we're going to talk a little bit about ARP spoofing and when to use it, which is almost never. And we're going to talk a little bit about DNS poisoning and spoofing and when to use it, which is a lot because it's a whole lot of fun. We're going to talk about DHCP snooping or spoofing as well, basically telling answering faster than the DHCP server for an address and making yourself a gateway. And we're going to talk about transparent proxies, which is where all the pranks come. Those are the most fun. And those transparent proxies are what you use after you get the traffic to your machine. I'm glad that got a laugh. Because I have run into so many people that are like, yeah, I use Kali Linux. I am a hacker. No, that doesn't make you a hacker. I'm sorry. So let's talk about the most dangerous option, ARP spoofing and ARP poisoning. The tool is ARP spoof, and it's provided as part of the dsniff suite of tools. And if you haven't got dsniff installed, install it. There's a lot of really fun stuff you can do with the dsniff suite. You can ARP spoof, you can DNS spoof, you can do traffic discovery, you can do a lot of stuff with it, and it's really, really, really cool. Man, what? Oh. It is easily detected on the network. So basically what you're doing with an ARP spoof is you're answering, everybody know what ARP is? Hold your hand up. All right. So for those of you that don't, talk to your neighbor afterwards. They'll explain it to you. No, just kidding. Basically, an ARP is a way to tie a MAC address to an IP address. And a switch holds a table of these ties. And that's the best way that it can route the traffic, the layer 2 traffic, in the switch from port to port. And so what you're doing when you ARP spoof is you're saying, no, I'm really the gateway address. It's me. And you're flooding the switch with answers to ARP requests for who's got the gateway, who's got the gateway, who's got the gateway. And you're like, me, you know, it's me. And so basically you're injecting yourself in the middle and becoming a gateway. Now, if you don't have your machine configured right, what's going to happen is you're going to get all the traffic, it's going to have nowhere to go, and the whole network is going to come crashing down. And you're going to be like, oops. And when your machine finally crashes because you're, you know, drinking from that fire hose, the network will go back to normal. But until then, you know, you've just brought your client down, and that's never a good thing. But for the most part, IDS will catch this as you're doing a gratuitous ARP. IDS will go, oh no, he's not really the gateway. He can like to think he is, but he's not. And it will catch it. And so it's one of these things that lights IDS up like a Christmas tree. I just alluded to, if done incorrectly, it will take down the network, and it will. I've done it. I'll admit that. I've done it at home. I've done it at work. I've done it. Well, yeah, at work, at home, Starbucks. You need a fairly powerful host to keep up with the traffic. I mean, you these days, you know, we're looking at you know, gigabit or multi-gigabit connections, and your host needs to be able to process that. So your little Wi-Fi pineapple or your little Linksys box, you know, that you can do this with, it's not going to cut it. It just can't process the traffic fast enough. Laptops, Mac Minis, small computers—they're going to be able to keep up with the traffic as long as you know you're at gigabit or better. I carry a secondary network card, a Lightning network adapter in my bag, just for this purpose, so that I don't have to route traffic in and out the same address. I can pull it in one and route it out the other. Setting it up, basically, you're setting your box up as a gateway. And you got to be able to route the traffic through the machine without actually slowing it down. You're going to slow it down a little bit. It's just one of those things. But you want to slow it down as little as possible. I told you they were funny. So DNS poisoning and spoofing, a slightly less dangerous way. It is slightly less dangerous. Kane is one of the tools that's able to perform this function amongst others. It's actually pretty damn good at doing what it's supposed to do. And it's the one that I prefer. It's a Windows tool, and I know Windows is bad, but Was that? In a VM, absolutely. People look funny at me because I have a Mac, and actually I see a lot of Macs now. I used to be one of the first people to actually hack on a Mac, and they're like, oh, you run a Mac? And I'm like, yeah, it's a great platform. And I can run Windows on it still. It may still require you to ARP spoof first. You're going to send replies to DNS requests to point traffic at yourself. So you have to become that DNS server. So, you know, you may have to ARP for that one specific address and say, I'm the DNS server, instead of I'm the gateway. Okay. And it is always used in conjunction with other tools. It can't actually handle the traffic itself. And so what you're going to do is you're going to reply with an address pointing that particular, you know, that DNS answer back at yourself or someplace else in order to capture the traffic going, in order to get the traffic to be redirected. And the great thing is with DNS caching is, you know, you may only have to answer once every 5 minutes or once every 2 weeks. Depending on how the cache is set up in DNS. And if you have to answer once every 2 weeks, that's pretty awesome because I can stand up a box, answer once, you know, poison the cache, and take the box down and go home. And I'm still getting that traffic. It's really pretty cool, unless, you know, they figure it out and they flush the cache. And like I said, it provides your IP address, the answer to the DNS query. So you're saying, I'm really Google. It's me. I'm Google. I'm going to send you my search results, which may not necessarily kosher. I'll let you read this because it's. I thought that was pretty funny too. So still a little bit less dangerous. We're going from most dangerous to least dangerous in this particular category. DHCP spoofing, and you're going to provide answers to DHCP requests. The ever famous Etercap. Who in here has heard of Etercap? It's a tool. It's a long old tool, and it works really really well, and it has for a long time. And it's really well maintained and it's just awesome. But Etercap does this function perfectly. You still need to be able to sniff the traffic. So you still need to get the traffic coming to your box somehow. So you're still going to have to do something. Either have a span port or one of these. Last year I did a talk on my bag of dirty tricks, and Zaz's mom came up and said, I really like the ninja throwing star. And this is what she's talking about. So this is a ninja throwing star land tap. And you guys have probably seen these. I think they're available in the vendor area as kits, and they're really, really cool. It allows you to get in the middle of traffic and scan it and play with it and inject into it. And hey, look, all my friends finally showed up. I'm going to embarrass you like I embarrassed my wife. Bill, wave hi to everybody. Everybody turn around and wave hi to Bill. Yeah, okay. You and I need to go talk to Priest later. Okay. No, but I want my t-shirt. Now he's laughing. So you can actually get in the middle of traffic with one of these. You have to be physically there, and you have to be able to plug into a wall jack in between a machine. But it will let you scan traffic, and it provides both in and transmit and receive, and it's pretty cool. It's a passive device. You don't need power. It's really, really, really awesome. Wow, are they loud or what? Okay, so we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to do something here to annoy the other guys. Okay, I want everybody... I'm not going to make you stand up again. I want everybody to scream and clap for 10 seconds as loud as you possibly can. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Do it. Perfect. They put us in these small rooms with these thin walks, and you know, that's Sky Talks over there, and there's no recording, and we just, you know, probably really annoyed the speaker because he's right behind that wall. That's a lot of fun to do. I'll have to look and see who was speaking and go, hey. switches can be alerted to check for and deny this type of attack, especially in situations where you're relaying traffic to one DHCP server. So it can be, you know, the switch can be configured to actually send these packets directly to the DHCP server and send the responses back. And if that's the case, this isn't going to work for you. And if they're really really well configured. And tight on this attack is going to be tough to pull off, but it is less dangerous than an ARP spoof because you're not going to interrupt all the traffic, just some of it. And it is also used in conjunction with other tools. And we'll talk about those other tools here in a little bit. So we're going to talk about proxies, but this image might be a little bit hard to see or hard to read. And, you know, it's the whole what my friends think I do, what my mom thinks I do. And yeah, my mom knows I'm a hacker, but she does think I work for the Geek Squad sometimes. You know, and I'm not a chick, even though that's a chick in what I think I do, but, you know. And we all know what we actually do, so. The government one I thought was the funniest because I'm sinking the Titanic. So you need to actually be able to do something with the traffic once you get it. And you need to be able to have a way to change things. And the easiest way to change it is to set up a transparent proxy. And in this case, we're talking about HTTP or HTTPS type traffic, you know, web traffic. There are some other tools that you can do that do other traffic, like SSH. You can actually do SSH man in the middle, and it is evil, and it is fun. And if oh, why?
It's so heavy.
Oh, come here.
I love you softly.
Guys, this is Crypt. He's pranking everybody, all of his friends, and. Hey, Crypt.
Yes.
Why don't you Oh, you have any DEF coin on you? Uh-huh. Oh, that's nice. You have four left? Can I have them? Yeah, of course I did. All right. I am amazing, and I'm a good sport, am I not?
One of the smartest guys I know.
Yeah, awesome. So I've got 400 DEF coin here, and I'm going to do some questions and answers. And the best questions I come up that you guys ask me, I'm going to give DEF coin to. Who here has DEF coin? Yeah, I know you guys do. Of course you do. Okay, who here wants DEF coin? Okay, good. At least I've got something that's valuable. The paper it's printed on is worth more than the actual coin, but you know. So multiple tools provide this service, and we'll talk about SSH man in the middle here in a little while, but we'll talk about HTTP and HTTPS first. Who in here have heard of Burp, the Burp suite? Who have actually installed the Burp suite? And was that pro? I don't pay for it. The features that it provides are not valuable enough for me to pay for it, and the free version is awesome. Who here has actually used the Burp Suite for something that I've had? Okay, good. So you know what I'm talking about. It's fun. You can actually examine and look and change traffic, web traffic as it goes by. And you would not believe the number of people that look at me funny when I say, you know what, I've got your password. How'd you do that? Well, you sent it in clear text. What do you mean, clear text? Yeah. Another tool I'll talk about is Mallory. And this is one that fewer people have heard of. Raise your hand if you've heard of Mallory. Yeah. Raise your hand if you've got Mallory to successively run. It's a difficult tool to actually use, but it is infinitely more powerful than Burp. You can do so much more with Mallory, and it's fast, and it's not Java-based. Yeah, see, that got yeah. But it's really, really hard to set up and use. The documentation isn't very good. It's not very well maintained. I haven't seen anything since like 2011. Yeah, it hasn't been maintained very much at all. And so most people that use it and use it effectively maintain it themselves. I actually have a private GitHub repository with my version of Mallory in it. And it's because I've had to make so many changes to it to keep it functioning over time that I want version control. I mean, I can't just, you know, I'll lose the tarball if I lose a machine, so. And then there's Squid. And people look at Squid as like a good regular old proxy, but it can actually do scriptable changes. It's fast, it's efficient, it runs as a service, and it's really, really good at what it does. But we'll talk about Squid here in a little bit. So let's... yeah, it is. Passwords anymore are ineffective unless they have spaces. Remember that. Put spaces in your passwords. People don't think about spaces. And spaces at the end of passwords, when you crack them, they show up as a blank space, right? So you're like, I don't understand why this password isn't working. Well, it's because it's got a space at the end of it. Let's talk a little bit about Burp Suite. You guys know it's Java. It runs on almost anything. It runs really well on almost anything. It runs really slow on almost anything. Java is one of those things that we wish we didn't have to put up with, but we do have to put up with it. But it's good. It's readily available. The free version is more than effective for what most people need, unless you're doing some really serious, heavy application testing and want to know some automated stuff and some automated certificate stuff. And my arrow keys just aren't working well. It just works most of the time. It's like an Apple computer, you know, or an iPhone. It just works. Your five-year-old can probably figure it out. It's pretty cool. It's got a real good GUI. It sets up requests and posts in such a way that you can actually change them and see what's going on. And I'll be honest, if I'm looking for something quick, Burp is the first thing I grab. If I don't have time to play with Mallory and get it fiddled and set up, if I'm just looking for a quick, you know, two-day engagement that I'm doing a pen test on an application, I'll pull up Burp Suite and go through it that way. It's really, really good at what it does. It grabs cookies. It will hold gets and posts for you. It'll sit there and fake the server out, like, yeah, I'm trickling the data to you. I'm just on a really slow connection, and it lets you change things. And it's really great to escalate privileges, because a lot of developers don't think about the cookies that they're setting. You know, they set this cookie and they're like, yeah, you've got user level. And it's just like user level 0. Like, yeah, okay, what happens when I change that user level 1? And all of a sudden I've got admin access, and it's hilarious to like, how'd you get that? Well, I just changed it on the way. That's Pyro. Is that Pyro? No. If it was Pyro, we'd really mess with him, but it's not Pyro, so we'll leave him alone. It can change cookies, variables, and HTML responses on the way back to the server. This is a client-based tool. You're not going to actually change the traffic going from anything but your client to or your group of clients that you've configured to use this proxy to the server. And so this is a really good way to get into things, Tomcat and stuff like that, on the server side. Speaker Goon is interrupting me. I'm just giving you a hard time. And it has some very powerful SSL options. SSL is only as good as your user training. I can present you a fake certificate, and as long as you are trained to click on, yeah, give me that fake certificate, I've got all your traffic. Our social engineering efforts are vastly, vastly, vastly successful because people have gotten used to, oh, that looks odd, but hey, I've got an OK button. I don't want to call IT. I'm just going to click OK. You know, Google, Chrome has gotten better in that it's presenting like a yellow screen, you know, full on yellow screen now, but it still gives you the option to be like, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I'm going to go through. It used to be red. The red screen really freaked people out, and I think they changed it to yellow because they were getting too many calls. Yeah. This is really kind of what Mallory's all about. I'm the best hacker ever. I downloaded this thing on the internet to do it. And Mallory, it's tough to use, and we'll talk a little bit about it. It's really, really, really powerful, though. More powerful than Burp, and much more, much faster. It's got very, very, very good SSL options. It'll, just like Burp, it'll auto-generate certificates, but if you have the right type of root certificate, like a fake root certificate, it won't. It'll generate these valid certificates with the valid information based on the certificate it downloads from the actual site that you're attacking. So it'll actually fill everything in like it's a real certificate from Google. You know, it's like Google HTTPS, and you'll look at it and it's like Google Incorporated. You know, this is the date. It's just been self-signed. And so when you actually examine it, if you have a user that's actually going to examine the certificate and look at it, it looks legit. And you're like, they're like, oh, okay. Well, Google just made a mistake and put a self-signed certificate up there. I think I can do that, and I'll let it through. And then you've got all their traffic. It's very, very, very good. Very configurable and almost too configurable. Linux and macOS are the easiest way to get Mallory working. And I actually have a virtual machine that I keep just for Mallory. And it's because it takes so many different libraries. It has to be massaged just in the right spot. And it takes a certain configuration of IP tables in order to actually work. And so I just keep it all set up on a VM that's ready to go. I, you know, boot up the snapshot, I start Mallory, and I'm ready to rock and roll. And I know that I can make changes to the configuration as I need to go. It has a Chrome plugin that will allow you to look at cookies and do injection of cookies and things like that. It's not very effective. It actually kind of sucks, and it's really difficult to understand. It's a tool. It's a great tool. Try it out. Go download it. I've got the link somewhere on here, it's actually in the presenter's notes, which are on the conference CD. It can be very, very, very picky. It really doesn't like a... what the heck is going on back there? That's really, really annoying. All right. Oh, he's going to go take care of it for me. I love you, man. Thank you. It can be really, really picky about the environment it's set up in, and it can be really, really, really tough, again, to get working. And there's not a lot of pre-built tools for it. You're going to be building a lot yourself. If you can code in Python or C, you're going to be set up and ready to rock and roll. But you're going to be writing a lot of your own plugins and a lot of your own tools to get it working. There are some real advantages to that, and the fact that you can write your own plugins and your own tools. And so as you do that, you'll get this kind of your own personal suite of tools and plugins you've got around Mallory that will do some really, really cool stuff. I don't share mine, and it's probably a really, really, really bad thing. I should probably start doing that. But I'm kind of possessive of my Mallory stuff because I don't want people to find out about it and be like, oh, yeah, gotcha. And it's not maintained. It hasn't been maintained since 2011. There hasn't been a new release since then, and I think it's just due to lack of popularity. So if more people start using it, we can start to maintain it, and we can actually make it a solid, stable, and scalable tool. Yeah, disgusted cat is questioning what he just saw. Squid. The Squid proxy is a staple of Linux proxies. Unix proxies, really. It's used in everyday use for a normal caching proxy. In fact, I used it for a caching proxy for years at home when my internet connection was slow, because it sped things up so drastically. And it's really, really, really good at that. It's very good at doing the caching stuff. But it can also be turned into a very nefarious tool with IP tables and PF. It can actually be completely transparent to the user. I can redirect the traffic into Squid without having to set up proxies on the proxy configuration on the browser. And so I can sit there in the middle of this traffic and be modifying it all day long, and you would never know it. And who did this PowerPoint anyway? It's good for fast and static replacement. So if you want to replace images, or if you want to put a header at the top of a certain set of web pages, you know, captive portal type stuff, it's really, really good for that. And it's there's lots of modules and lots of support, and it's very, very well maintained. It's, you know, it's more or less a commercial product, and people use it all over the place. And so picking those products and then being able to twist them to your own uses is something that is incredibly valuable. And it is the best thing to prank your friends with. It's readily available at home. There's lots of resources on the web to do what you want to do with it, and it's a whole lot of fun. So I was going to do an SSH monkey in the middle here, and I booted my VM this morning, and I got set up to do it, and as always, the demo gods are not in my favor today. So
I'd just like to say that those guys are literally dicks.
Oh, wow. That's a flying dick. We'll set that there for the next speaker. He'll wonder what the hell happened in here. It'll be a lot of fun. But instead, I'm going to do some time for questions and answers here at the end, because they didn't give us any Q&A time after our talks this year. And I want to be able to answer your guys' questions. So I'm going to take the 10 minutes I set aside for that and do that instead. The other thing I want to talk about is the all-port internet redo. Yeah, I like that image. That was so much fun. I actually have something in my bag that is batteries are dead. And it's a redo of something that was done back in DEF CON 17. And these guys got up and talked about what they called the all-port internet. And it was an access point you could attach to, and it would replace all of the images with random porn. It's a great prank, and it's a great example of what you can do with a proxy. Battery is dead in my bag right now, but it'll be up. I'll go upstairs and charge it, and it'll be up, and I'll be walking around con, and you'll see an access point that says all P internet, okay? And it'll throw you into a captive portal, and it will actually ask you about your preferences. And so you know, I'm non-discriminatory, and I want to make sure everybody gets, you know, not my brand of porn, but what they want. And so it will ask you about your preferences, and it will present you your preferences of pornography, and every image will be pornography. I'm sorry, but it also gives you the option to join it or not, and I'm not going to force it on you, because I understand that that's not for everybody too. No demo, but it will be available. I won't force it on you. You have to ask for it, and it's gender and preference neutral. So with that, let's open the floor up for some questions. Let me see what kind of time I've got. I've got 20 minutes left or 25 minutes left. So yeah. I haven't played with it in a long time, to be honest. It's one that I'll put on my list, certainly, to check out. If you got something that you've done with it that you want to talk to me about, come grab me a beer afterwards, and we'll do that. Yeah.
How would you do SSH man in the middle?
So there's actually a tool, if you Google SSH man in the middle, it's part of the dsniff suite. It will actually present a fake public key to your client, and you'll get a message, a key warning. You know, the public key has changed. I have mine configured to where it won't even connect to a changed public key, but most default implementations will just ask you if you want to replace it, yes or no. And then it will sit in the middle and decrypt the traffic and record the traffic for you as it's passing the traffic to the next host. Because you just changed the public key to the one I presented you to, and it's decrypting that traffic. It's a whole lot of fun. There's not a whole lot you can change with it, but you definitely get passwords from it. Yeah. Yeah, you'd be surprised. Presenting somebody with are you sure you want to do this type message will almost always get a yes answer. I do it. You do it. I mean, come on, admit it. Do you answer yes to that kind of stuff just because it's convenient? Yeah, I'll be the first one to admit it. I do it too. And I've gotten caught by my friends. They're like, yeah, I got you. You know, and I'm like, oh man. But yeah, everybody does it. It's kind of human nature. You know, you get a are you sure you want to do this? Yes or no? And the answer is almost always, yeah. I'm sure I want to do this. So, yeah.
What would be the best proxy to use for SSL scripting if you want to gather the cookies in a usable format so that you can connect to people's websites once you have them?
Oh, the best... The best proxy to use for SSL stripping. What I would actually do, if it's just something that you're trying to do quick, use a tool called SSL strip and burp. That's the fastest way to do it if you're just looking to strip the SSL and get the credentials. If you want a little bit more complicated version, burp actually does do some certificate generation. You can set it up to generate fake certificates and send them back to the client, and they'll get the message. The other way is to use Mallory and actually generate some really, really good certificates. And if you can get a fake root certificate onto the client that you're attacking, then you won't have the issue of the certificate is bad type stuff. And it's really, really powerful and cool. But yeah, SSL strip and burp are the first go-to. Yeah. Out in the cloud? It's going to be hard to do out in the cloud. If you want to prank your friends, get a little... okay. My wife is telling me to repeat the question for everybody because they can't hear you. she's right. She's right. She's a teacher, so she knows this kind of stuff. He wants to know what the best service, cloud service is to set this stuff up in to prank the cloud. And... Or the best way. I actually do it at my gateway, my home gateway. I run pfSense, which gives me access to BSD and PF. And so you can do a lot of fun stuff with that. There's a lot of plugins for it. If you're pranking your cloud, your friends out here, just carry a Wi-Fi pineapple or something in your backpack with a battery on it and connect it to the DEF CON network and away you go. That's how the thing in my bag works. It's just a Wi-Fi pineapple configured to connect to the DEF CON network, and it funnels traffic through there, but it changes everything coming back and forth to it. Yeah. No, I'm not. Yeah.
So, what about all the
VPNs? See, I'm not going to keep the DEF CON for myself. That was a really good question. The rage about VPNs are actually pretty well protected. Although most people are switching to like an SSL or a TLS version of VPN, right? And you can still use all your SSL-based tools for that and actually get access to the traffic. The problem being is that when you've got a VPN going, you're oftentimes tunneling traffic inside tunnels, at least I do. You know, so you're going to have to not only man in the middle my SSL VPN, but you're also going to have to man in the middle my SSH. And if I see one warning for VPN and then another warning for SSH, I'm at that point going to be like, okay, something's up. You know, somebody didn't misconfigure something, or I'm not on a network that is in the middle already. I'm actually being messed with. You can come get 100 def coin. That was a good question. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I can see that being going to a site that you questioned to begin with and didn't know. But what if it's one that you have and you feel like it is a reputable site, you did it, but just to verify it on the fly, what do you recommend? How do you check that to make sure it's valid?
So that's actually a very, very good question. So what he's asking is when you get that yellow screen from Chrome, and it's a site that you've been to and you know, but you're still getting that yellow screen, how do you verify that it's okay? There's actually a small link and on that screen, you know, there's like, so it's like, get me out of here, or and then there's advanced, and it'll let you, or everything's okay, I know what I'm doing, or really kind of the three options there. Under the advanced tab, if you click it, it will give you all of the certificate information. So what I look for when I look at that certificate is it really the site that I'm going to? You know, what's the issue? Is it the company that I'm expecting to work with? Am I sending my data to someplace where I actually want to send it to? Is the URL correct? Was that?
The certification authority.
Yeah, you'll see the CA, the certificate authority. You're right. And the certificate authority, I can put anything I want in that field. It could be kind of fun because I'm generating my own route, right? So I can be like, oh yeah.
So you shouldn't trust it, right?
What's that?
So you shouldn't trust it.
You really shouldn't trust it. Yeah. You just click, get me out of here. That's the best option. And then if it's Google or something, especially if it's like a big name company or your bank, and it's like, oh, it's been self-signed, don't trust it. If it says it's expired, don't trust it. Chances are, if it's a big company and their SSL certificate expired, they're just getting ready to put in a new one anyway. So wait 20 minutes and go check again. Test on an independent network. That's a good one too. This is for you. Yeah.
So as far as say you can't do the get a user to click OK on that, as far as other SSL tags, have you ever tried to tie Mallory into like Beast Attack or Crime, like some sort of SSL decryption?
Yeah, his question is, have I ever tied one of these tools into like a Beast Attack or a crime type attack, or a renegotiation type to decrypt the SSL? Yes, and it works very, very, very well. The crime attack, until they patched it, has been amazing. Time to wrap it up. All right, one more question. Right. It would have. They have since fixed that. But yes, it would have, and it actually worked very, very well. So that's all I got for you guys.